really the focus of the one on Blanche. So it takes, you know, security fixes and other bug fixes that are either critically important or low risk or some combination of them to be on the branch. There will be periodic releases off of that branch, and 1.0.1 release should be coming up in the next couple of weeks. And so, that's a chunk of security fixes in it if you're interested. I think that's where the JavaScript part is. And it's got a range of other things that are actually important to building products on. So those fixes are really low risk, not too much in the way of new development. So if that's kind of what you're interested in, then the branch and the branch releases will be for you. In the same time, the development of the trunk continues, and the 1.1 release is actually in its beta stage. So after 1.0, since we have a MyStable branch, we sort of just changed our milestone release and stretched it out. So 1.1 had an alpha release a while ago, and that's where the new development occurred. Now we're in the beta phase, which is shaking things out, and then it'll be a few weeks of really tight tree control before we have a 1.1 final. And in the 1.0 area, there's a set of things. DHTML performance has been improved with a set of fixes that came in after 1.0, or a little bit too risky to include in the 1.0 release. There's a set of improvements for requirements for non-English language. The JavaScript debugger has been reworked previously. If you use that a lot and find it useful, you probably want to try the 1.1 releases from the trunk, not the 1.0 branch releases. And life goes on pretty much normal. The day-to-day operations in Mozilla haven't changed very much. Some of the frenetic nature of getting to 1.0 has calmed down a bit. But what goes into the trunk is really what people are working on and what they're interested in. And the trunk is managed in a pretty much similar way. Not quite as many restrictions as Linux. We've seen a set of Zool applications and developers expand after 1.0. So it looks like that the 1.0 branch, whose purpose was to have a good stable branch people could use, is achieving its purpose.
You said that people were waiting around for 1.0. I mean, I don't know if people began development on 1.0 with the Zool, but Zool wasn't in use. It was moving particularly quickly. There's a Zool 1.0 that's in time with the Mozilla 1.0. And I think that's something that frustrated a lot of people, to say the least, beforehand. I mean, Zool is one of the things that attracted quite a lot of interest as a single aspect of Mozilla that was changing horribly and sort of unattractively. And it's now where it means to be, and it actually looks quite different than it did. 6 months ago, but it's, I think that we've already seen people confidently coding away at Zool in a way that it might not have been possible to do.
You mean actually using Zool?
Yeah, building applications.
So what is Zool?
Zool?
Extensible User Interface Language.
XUL.
Sets up a, it's basically the user interface, the front end to the browser.
It's an XML-based user interface specification language.
Right. And there's a rendering engine at the very middle of Mozilla is a rendering engine that renders all the content, but it also renders all of the Chrome. So the whole interface was defined primarily in Zool, and Zool, much like HTML, it uses, to the extent that we can, use CSS to define the presentation of things and Zool to define the structure. And there are a couple of extra little bits.
Can I get Zool without,
Well, you should ask, because that's where we're going. The answer up until recently was absolutely not, but the trend and some of the things we're going to see as we get branches like 1.2.1.1 is something that we call the runtime environment. It's analogous to the GRE, the VMRE that would give you anything you need for more. And so it would give you Gecko and give you the networking library, the Necco, and all of the sort of core components, and so people can make applications that don't hang off of Mozilla. Because people, when they've made there are big non-browser applications that exist now in Mozilla. you know, Chatzilla. Right. There are things that they tend to be sort of internet related. But those have a way of, they need Mozilla. They have needed Mozilla. They've needed the Chrome and the application itself. But there's been a lot of effort quite recently to disentangle, to make something a runtime environment that you can redistribute or that you can use as a basis for doing the applications. So there are lots of issues, not just Zool, but one of the things that the MRE gives you is a way to just do a Zool standalone applications. And that's, maybe Mitchell can say more about what the timeline is for that, but the MRE is a source of great excitement for everyone in the Mozilla community because it's something that you get asked about all the time.
It's being driven out of the embedding group. So if you go to the Mozilla website and you're looking for it, you should look under embedding/projects and go and it's been under consideration for quite a while, but really serious planning relatively recent. So some of the documents, you know, will be well formed and others are looking for input. There's a hope. Right now we're at 1.1 beta. And that what follows that is 1.1 final. You know, some period of time, not final 1.1. And the current thinking is that probably with some luck, in the 1.2 time frame, there might be an MRE available, but probably only on Windows. It might take to 1.3 to move up to Linux and Mac. And that is not so much planning from the Zool.org staff, but just realistically looking at the resources allocated, most of whom are from Netscape, you know, working on the MRE, where they're likely.
I was going to say, but the good thing is that there happen to be some big, interested prospective clients of in something like an MRE, and so they're sort of interested in, they may be more interested in Windows, but the good news is that this is a case it's what should be named. Organizationally, this sort of environment, because we have cases, there are already people who do things like Mozilla, you know, you have the case where you install a Mozilla. And then if you have some different apps. Some people do application development in a way that is really just an extension of Mozilla itself. Some people think that they take Mozilla so that they can get something like an MRE, and then they develop all new things on top of a different instance of Mozilla, and then you have two large instances of Mozilla. But this is, we're coming to a world where you have an MRE and you have various large or middle-sized applications hanging on this with only one set of core projects.
And hoping, of course, that you know, the system libraries of the MRE are the present on the system that you include in your app and simplify your own. So that's one direction that we're definitely heading. I'm certainly, given our history and promise on timeframes, you know, that's a very strong point, but it's an area of intense interest and is heated up after 1.0. So that would be an area of excitement. We've also given some thought, but on releasing a more developer-oriented, what we call it, Mozilla, but a release out of Mozilla on Mozilla.org that consolidated the various developer tools and made it easier to use Mozilla.
This might be a bone-headed question. I don't know where everybody else stands with this, but is there any white paper on the internet describing the relationship and history of the Mozilla versus Netscape and Gecko and what else you think of?
There are documents that describe various aspects of that.
I don't understand the difference between Mozilla and Netscape that's still to this day.
Well, I'll tell you that there are two different CDS repositories, but the Netscape one just comes after. You do a Netscape build, get all your DLLs and everything, and then you stick some stuff on there, you know.
AOL ads.
Right, yeah, you have the AIM client and this kind of stuff, and actually, Zool itself has a neat facility for overlaying new UI ad hoc. You know, you can, using the Chrome registry, there are various ways to get new UI just kind of stuck in Mozilla. This is how, for instance, new applications want to assert they're available from Mozilla, like you pull the tools menu down, there's a debugger in there, so the IRC, or the Chatzilla, that sort of stuff. You can, when you create a new application, you can sort of register yourself as something that wants to change the UI of Mozilla. And this is a long way to answer, but Netscape just comes along after Mozilla and puts some stuff in, and then that's it. I mean, Netscape is Mozilla. And it's got some stuff that's close.
Well, the question about the organization or the product?
Yes, both.
Okay. Yeah. If you look at the one that will guide Mozilla, it's like from homepage, it does talk about this, but So Netscape contributes, Mozilla.org is a virtual organization, it's not a legal organization, staff members come from a range of different places. Some are employed by Netscape, some are volunteers at that company, and some are employed by Netscape. Okay. As to the product, Netscape has a chunk of engineers and QA people and project managers who work on their Netscape 7 or whatever release they're up to right now. 7?
Yeah.
Netscape 7. Right. The work product of those employees is contributed to Mozilla. Right? If that goes into the tree, that's combined with the work product of a ton of other people into the Mozilla releases. Netscape contributes all that stuff into the Mozilla tree, and they turn around and pull out most, but not all of it. Right, and do a build, and then they add on whatever Netscape build and Netscape apps. So they contribute to it and pull out of it.
Yeah, and since that's a large portion of the stuff in Mozilla is actually in the Mozilla tree. What's happening effectively is that Netscape developers just develop in that tree. And then there are some developers who work on stuff like AIM who just come along afterwards. But I'm sorry, yeah, organizationally, Netscape developers, that's where they work. And so Bugzilla is a massive record of Netscape development on, you know, Mozilla development and Netscape are in there too.
And so on the project management side, there's Mozilla project management. Netscape is an important influence. We've got a large set of engineers who contribute to the project. It's also a major distributor. So Netscape has an influence on what happens in the Mozilla project, but by no means do they dictate it. We have a working relationship between Mozilla and Netscape.
Yeah, that clears it up quite a lot.
You mentioned the Netscape's up to 7 now. Is that something that's just out, or is that something
Netscape that's 7.0 preview release 1 is the latest Netscape build.
And that's built on the current one. Mozilla 1.0
yeah, right.
Stuff?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
It was built on a release candidate of 1.0.
When the final comes out, will it be the 1.0?
I think.
Probably.
Right, that's ultimately a Netscape decision. But I don't know.
It's dizzying to pay to keep track of. I mean, the Mozilla sort of tree management is really complex. I mean, the way that Netscape relates to that is, I lose track of.
I would guess that.
Well, the reason I ask is, I'm a web developer. I develop web apps, CGI, HTML, that sort of stuff. And we'd like our clients, to move to Mozilla or something a little more up to date than Netscape 4, they trust in IE and they trust in Netscape. They don't want to go to something called Mozilla for whatever. If we can get a Netscape 7 out, that's basically Mozilla 1.0, then they'd be more apt to go to that, and we can push that harder to say, okay, now our system requirements are you need to be running,
Netscape 6.2 is pretty good.
IE whatever, or
I would be shocked.
Netscape 7, something like that. So something that we know is a Netscape. We know is compatible with Mozilla. I use Mozilla day in and day out, doing my testing on my web app and developing and stuff like that.
I would be shocked if Netscape 7 final release when it comes out wasn't based on one.
Right.
I've been shocked before.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I would expect the same thing too. If they're gonna up a number and do something like that, they would use that instead of a release candidate.
Just looking at the timing, right? Mozilla is very close to 1.0.1, our next release off the 1.0 branch, which
right.
has a chunk of fixes, including some security fixes. So I would restate that and say, unless Netscape 7 comes out tomorrow, my guess is it would be based on 1.0.1,
right,
because it's better than 1.0.
Right.
But I would be really surprised if it wasn't 1.0.
Just out of curiosity, I was talking to remember his name, obviously.
Alex.
There's problem between Flash and Mozilla 1.0 and
Flash.
And the same for Netscape 6.0.1 and 0.2. Is there going to be the fix that he said is in 1.1?
As
going to be
7.0 ships will ship with a scriptable Flash.
Okay.
And that's the issue, I think.
Yes,
the
it
issue
is.
With, yeah.
Yes, it is. We cannot talk with JavaScript to Flash.
Right. That's precisely right. And I think that that was an issue of some debate, and quite recently, and so there's been the old flag, and people still claim on things, but the decision quite recently has been that 7.0, at least the final release, maybe these releases right now have it, but the Flash, Trivial Flash plugin is in 7.0.
Has the MIME type problem been fixed, where, you know, both, at least on the Mac builds, the latest Mac builds, you know, both QuickTime and Flash try to take over the Flash, and it bases it alphabetically? It could just goes down the list, or is that something that's just sort of...
You mean you have those MIME... You mean you haven't set those MIME types or something?
Well, it doesn't respect it. What happens is that goes down alphabetically, and so you can fix it by renaming the QuickTime plugin.
The issue with that... One of the issues there is the way that plugins are implemented in IE and the Mozilla and in standards for embedding objects are quite different.
yes.
But so Mozilla has had to do all sorts of things to handle in a sort of a snippy, recursive way how plugins are, who handles plugins. And, you know, like if you use the object tag,
object versus embed, yeah.
Yeah, and then if you have a class ID that corresponds to an index ID, then you have an object tag, and then the spec defines subtext, object within objects, or embed tags within the object tags, and I think that it's just not falling through. I don't know the whole deal, but I know that that's actually, the plugin story is something that's been changing quite a lot recently, and I think that we've been talking with the W3C about how to do object tag implementations for plugins in some better way, because I know there's been some problems there. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's fixed. I don't know if it's fixed. I just know that it's something, it's a matter of great concern now.
The issue that you mentioned about Flash was what? That they're not sending the latest to the Flash plugin?
Mozilla,
or not for, the plugin?
When we went to... a longer ago, when we got the new... architect of the browser. We were going to use XPConf, then we had a new plugin API that used XPConf. And for a while, we were asking people to do the plugins that way, and then that turned out to be horribly practical. So in the last year, we've actually, we're going back to a sort of 4X style plugin support. But then there's been just a sort of a marketing issue to talk to the vendors, some of whom have been, you know, quick to the gun, have actually gone ahead and done XPConf style plugins, and others who have been not sure which direction to go. But it has to do with the APIs that plugins use. And so we support the API that we've always supported now, but we had this period where we were doing this ill-conceived XPConf style plugin. I think that's the issue with Flash. I noticed that some of you all are web developers, and I wanted to say a little bit more about what Mitchell was talking about. One of the things that people at Mozilla are getting sort of excited about is doing something like a special version of the browser that is a sort of a web developer version of the browser. And in early releases of that would be maybe featuring the debugger, the JavaScript debugger, is something that it's great. And there's not a JavaScript debugger like that. But right now in Mozilla, it's something that's available from the application suite, available within Mozilla. But it's something that's so good, and that's the way that it's been done is so fancy, that there's some thinking about making that bigger part of something like a web developer's release of the browser. And so I this is all sort of speculative, but a lot of people who are working in Mozilla are really interested in, then maybe in the 1.1 branch doing something like, in the 1.1 time frame, perhaps featuring the debugger more. In the 1.2 time frame, having something like a debugger-centric, and perhaps debugger and DOM inspector-centric application. In other words, you don't start the browser and then sort of get to these applications. You would open up something like an IDE that has the, I don't know if you all have used the JavaScript debugger, but it's beautiful. And the DOM inspector, too, seems naturally to want to go with the debugger. There's so much integration that needs to happen there. Actually, in Mozilla, there's a...
Control-Shift-I, your best friend.
Control-Shift-I, you mean right now? I can.
Yeah.
I know, it's just that was one more of these projects that sort of started as a hobby and became improved and got, it's become a bigger and bigger part of the application suite. But I mean, we're really right now, we're so close to something like a web developer environment. You know, the debugger is tight. And so just in general, 1.1 would be something a lot like the browser is now, but maybe some smoother access to those tools, at least making sure that those tools are available, and perhaps also cutting out some of the things that are made more for the user browsing experience. In other words, making the browser a little less thick and making the tools a little thicker. And then in 1.2, having something like when you fire up Mozilla or Webzilla or Geekzilla or whatever it's called, having, you know, opening up the debugger and the inspector, and then having the browser window be something more like a view. Because one of the great things about the debugger recently is that it's he's got this kind of a window with draggable and toggleable windows. It's really fancy. It's a beautiful thing. And so it's easy to imagine that the browser, a view pane, would just be a single pane within that debugger. And then apparently, this is sort of far out, but at 1.3, Mozilla would be handling sort of a classic application suite, which would be the Mail News client browser. And then there would be this other development tool, web developers tool. And then perhaps also something like a thin client, which would be that view pane. In other words, the smallest possible browser distributed for use as a viewer. Yeah.
Kind of related to that, I used to use the Netscape HTML editor way back when. Is that part of Mozilla? Is that any better these days?
Yeah, it's better.
Is that tied in with this DOM inspector?
Not yet. There is a request for enhancement filed to tie it in.
My main problem with the old Netscape HTML editor was the HTML it produced. Really good.
Yeah. You know, it puts all sorts of stuff in there for you.
Even almost as bad.
I think the output is you know, I haven't used it a lot.
Well, it's the same. It's used in the Mail engine as well, right?
Right.
And
right.
If they turn on content editable anytime soon, then that would work too, right? That's one of the big features that, you know, IE has that's all neat and sexy.
What's that?
Content editable, where you can actually turn that property on and...
There is a slight problem with that. The content editable property of Internet Explorer is a Internet Explorer proprietary extension. And the reason that Mozilla has been resistant to adding things such as document HTML is because it's not a W3C standard in the DOM. Internet HTML was added over the protests of a lot of standards proponents because literally the whole community screamed for it. And it's still somewhat of an inefficient way to use dominant Internet HTML. Content editable, I can't speak to it, I haven't had a lot of experience with it. But there's bound to be some resistance within the Mozilla.org community because it is not the standard property.
Yeah, well, I mean, even the standard properties, like, you know, if you're doing text ranging stuff right now, it's still, you know, that's one of the things that holding back, you know, a lot of people who want to do web applications or CMS stuff who are just working with JavaScript, you know, just DOM stuff, you know, you can't do anything that you can really do. And, I mean, it's sort of a tough thing.
Again, that's the deal.
What's content editable? How do you get to whose property is it?
Right now it's a Microsoft only thing. They sort of it's in Bugzilla where they're starting to
What does it do? How do you get to it?
What it is that you actually set it in your you set content editable. You can either set it's you know MS DOM type thing where you can turn that onto true, and then that means basically you can edit. You get basically a caret instead of a cursor, and you can basically click anywhere on the page and then edit it in line. I believe that is something that actually is sort of supported right now in Mozilla, where you can make a few hacks to do that. But the main thing that, like, you know, for the concern for most of the people I know is that, you know, until recently, there actually is one of these bugs that just sort of got a patch in 1.1 where you can finally do text ranging in multi-line, you know, or in text areas. Right now, it doesn't work with multiple lines, though, because I guess internally the text nodes are represented as, you know, separate text nodes for line breaks, and so you know, whenever you do selections, it does the start, and yeah, so yeah, it's a pain in the butt.
Yeah, and that's much more than I know about the editor, but the editor is a part of Mozilla. And I use it, I didn't use it at all, like 6.0 and earlier than I guess I didn't. I've been using it recently for 6.5, and it seems the output seems cleaner. But, and I don't know how that figures in something like a web developer. It's tempting to think that you could make that part of something like that, but I don't know. And I don't have an idea because these things are thinking about them. People are working on it. And actually, the good thing about the way that things are being organized, like the MRE and like the way that the interfaces are getting frozen, it's getting more componentized anyway. So those sorts of things are easier to think about and to go ahead and do.
Yeah, I think one could say the editor is usable. Have to check out that one. Yeah.
You mentioned the 1.2 and the 1.3 release time.
Uh-huh.
Got any rough time frames on that? 6 months out?
So
18 months out?
Yeah, our planning has been on each final. We have four
lists. So 1.1 and 1.0 just came out. We expect 1.1 toward the end of the year?
Well, 1.1 beta is out today, so that should give us 1.1 final long before that.
Okay.
So I would say by fall.
September,
and then
October.
1.2
So 1.2 by, say, January.
Something like that. I think
okay.
There may actually be something that's on the roadmap page, but even if not, that's the general thing.
How optimistic is this?
Well, in part we'll find out since it's a new system for us implemented after 1.1. The 1.1 alpha, it was a little bit late because we had so much focus on the 1.0 release, but 1.1 beta is kind of long. So we don't think it's that optimistic. The things that could get in the way are, so right now we're in 1.1 beta. That means the tree's going to be under very tight control for some period of time until we get to 5. So that means the features that we're interested in 1.2 aren't going to land for some period of time and have to be sitting in someone's world. So if we got into a setting where it was really critical either for us or for someone else, so we made the decision that WorldGate or Netscape or OE1 or somebody was doing something really critical and we had to jam their feature in and stretch out a release cycle, be optimistic. But we picked 4 a year figuring that's a reasonable number, and where we'll get off base is if we find that the community won't accept such a short period for new features. You've got the alpha period and there may be a little bit of beta time for something new really quick. And if people don't swallow that, then we'll have to move to bigger. Short of that, I think it's not like the old release 1.0 when that's page 6, make up a date. It makes more realistic.
That looks good.
I have a really dumb question. When you install 1.0, at one point it asks you if you want Mozilla to masquerade as, I think, Netscape or IE, which I guess spoofs the browser string in the HTTP header.
Upon installation, it does that? I think it says, do you want it to be your default or something like that? But
no.
Does it say?
It doesn't change your user agent by default.
To go into stealth mode where it will pretend to be something
like those for the UA strings.
Because I've been to 2 websites within the last couple of weeks where they have a kind of brain dead browser filter that says you need to have Netscape 6 or IE 5.5 or higher to view this website. And besides firing off angry emails to the webmaster, what can you do?
Go someplace else internally.
Well, there are a lot of Zool, little apps. There's one at Zool Planet that'll let you sort of change your user agent. There's also a user agent sidebar.
There's a toolbar you can install eventually.
Yeah, there's also a sidebar that's at the Netscape Evangelist site that's really neat. You do have to do you have to add an extra thing in your prefs.js, but it's actually really neat because they have also another application which is great for web developers, which is view generated source. which will basically, you know, view sort of like everything that's been post-processed. It's like viewing the computed style type thing, where you view the computed HTML, which is definitely snazzy. Okay, I have a question. Just, you know, because you guys have been mentioning, you know, the multiple installs, and so there's sort of a two-part question. One is about how you're dealing with all the profile handling, because right now it's sort of a mess where Netscape and Mozilla, and two, also, you know, as you're launching, let's say you're doing your Geekzilla or Webzilla type thing, where you're doing editing on websites, I mean, will you be able to launch separate instances? I mean, right now already I'd like to launch my Mail and my Chatzilla and my Mozilla differently because, you know, one will crash all the rest of the others, and, you know, so just wondering how you guys are dealing with those two separate issues.
Recently, there has been some work the bug is called Implement an Inter-Process Communication System. That is a bug that's being worked on. I saw a note from Brendan Knight this morning that says there is a patch available and they're working on getting review super review for it. Number one, I'm not sure I can answer as well because, quite frankly, I don't know anything about this element.
I think that it is sort of nasty about, like, Mozilla 1.0 profiles with previous versions is sort of a mess. And there may be some sort of, like,
it's
import.
It's not just profiles, it's actually Mozilla 1.0 new installations. And they're talking about it in 1.0 because we have companies struggling with that. So I don't know the technical details. I do know that, for example, one of the companies that's shipping product very shortly based on Mozilla different architecture, and this is the key problem holding them up from shipping, and so some level of work is going on. But exactly, at the time we looked at it, the embedding folks weren't sure of the right answer because it was a long-term solution as part of the MRE, and so we were looking at what some sort of rational short-term patch we could get in the one time frame so they could ship. But I don't know what the technical details, and I haven't followed it.
But so right now it's still up in the air for what the long-term solution is going to be, whatever.
Well,
I think that's part of
On the MRE document that's off of the embedding page, there's some discussion of reg keys and the chain. That one of the issues has been installations being able to discover whether there's an MRE there. I mean, that's not what's happening now, but obviously one of the problems you have is if you're installing your Mozilla application, you have to go figure it out. So I think there's been some discussion. In fact, and one of the heinous things that's happened, with earlier versions of Mozilla 1.0 is that on Windows, the reg key stuff has changed around. So that, you know, you're writing all over the place. But I think something like whatever it is, HP software, MRE, is going to be written. And so people who are Mozilla apps, including Netscape or Mozilla, will just say, it's there, and I write on top of it. And there's some that MRE document describes not only that, but code you do in the install.
Well, that might fix Windows. How about or the other platforms or just...
Well, I think... Yeah, I don't know. XPDI, DAT. There are reg files in the installation itself, like on Linux and Unix, that where locations and things are hard coded, and all of those. Obviously, part of the effort for the MRE is to free that up and to say for subsequent installations of even the monolithic or the application suite to say there's an MRE already here, or I've got a newer MRE and so I have to replace that one with this newer one that everyone will abide by and install myself. So yes.
Just going back to the release kind, you know, 1.1, your 1.2, your 1.3 type thing. Is there a plan for those things, or is there any major new features that are planned to go into those things? Anything that stands out that's really kind of cool that you didn't mention, or is it just kind of you just kind of go in and you just kind of see what gets put in there as you go?
We do some of both. The latter part of seeing what comes is because Mozilla itself doesn't employ many engineers. Work full time. So from our point of view, everything is volunteer. So, you know, we can encourage and
follow the bugs for advancement.
But on the planning side, we plan relatively short term.
Right.
And frankly, you know, all of our energy was focused on 1.0 until pretty recently.
Right. Yeah, I mean, so, you mentioned like 3 months between releases. I mean, that's a very short period of time. to do another release.
So in our planning phase, for us, you know, looking at the 1-2 release coming up and something like the MRE, that's a big deal for us because that's a real architectural event and that's
right.
going to take most of our energy. As for 1-3, I don't think we actually have firm plans of, gee, this is something really new we would like to see happen. Now, it may be that one of the contributors will come up with something and we'll go from there. So 1-2, the next release right now is about where we're focused in a serious way. I mean, we have these discussions about we'd like to see this in 1-3, or maybe we'd like to help web developers out and put something together, but it doesn't cover us much.
Correct.
But that sort of discussion is happening in the bug database in the form of, right, you know, there's notation in those bugs so that the savvy can go in and look at what at least people think they're going to be accomplishing.
Right, on an individual basis, but as like a staff, like a long-term planning document, like companies do, a very short-term, like, partly we've been burned by promises made in the past.
I don't like promises about anything.
Yeah.
And you can imagine, by the way, that because Mozilla's like that, Netscape doesn't have much more forethought.
Right.
Because they, there's things that Netscape won, but.
That's the way.
Right. And it's, yeah.
Well, that's a two-way street, too. I mean, some of our planning, since we don't employ programmers, it's all volunteers. If a contributor at a company that's shipping a product is going to do something for their product, we can look up and say, oh, well, they're at least going to want that in our tree. Do we want it or not? I mean, some of that planning is two-way. There's some places in the world with Mozilla staff where one has to say, no, we don't want that. Put it in your commercial tree. That's too ugly. Fix it up. Or, it needs to be re-architected before we're going to get near it. But you can't be a roadblock too often to your main contributors. That doesn't get you very far.
Right.
So it's all over that.
The other side of the coin, it seems like tab browsing system is a beautiful feature. It's so great. That
I love it.
And it's not something that...
Except for MPT doesn't like it.
What's that?
MPT.
Well.
Yeah.
But, that's not something that I don't think like the commercial browser wasn't foreseeing that. But, and there was kind of, what is this? And how, it's happening or what's happening? And it's just, it's obvious, it's such a good thing. It's such a beautiful move forward. And it just sort of happened anyway. And I think at one point there was even some sort of resistance. Wait a minute. But it's so good. It's just a great, That's a perfect example of when things sort of happen right way, when it's moving in that direction.
Just to touch on something that Ian mentioned about Bugzilla, I use Bugzilla quite a bit, and I don't think I've seen target milestones available yet in Bugzilla for 1.3, 1.4, etc. So.
They would just be guessing to these people.
Exactly.
Our experience has been that even one milestone ahead of information is really not accurate. That either developers are naturally optimistic or management's naturally off base. But as every milestone rolls around, there's a whole ton of bugs that target that milestone. Whether they should have or not, maybe they should have. But we found long ago that having 5 or 6 or 8 milestones out was just a useless statement.
Speaking of bugs, just a question on Bugzilla, because I used it a bit for searching for bugs and stuff. Is there any plans for, say, some sort of like static Bugzilla search or something that's just faster? Because you go through, you want to search for a bug, and
the thing is actually Mick. I don't know if Mick Velez at Mozilla.org. He's the Zool front end of the Bugzilla database.
Oh, really?
So you get a lot of the, the tree widget in Zool. Has a lot of intrinsic sorting, and so when you do reports that bring back a lot of stuff to the client, and you're using a Zool front end, then you don't have to go to the server. I just saw it on Asus machine a couple days ago.
It's on
MozDev. Okay.
It's actually ready. I don't know. It's ready for prime time, but it's ready to test out.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, I've spent the last couple of weeks modifying Mozilla for internet, mainly equivalent to what was available in Netscape 4.7. I guess we're using. Are there any plans to do Mission Control desktop or something like that?
Is Mission Control the same? Is it very similar to the CCK?
It was more oriented toward enterprises than the CCK, I think.
All I can say is I've heard the name Mission Control. I've heard CCK and Mission Control spoken of. I don't know. But there's talk about it. And in fact, we just. someone just stood up and said, we're releasing some CCK version now or tomorrow or something like that. I don't know how much those have to do with one another. But this is a sort of enterprise customization of the browser for deployment.
Within our internet, we want to make people go to our own search engines.
And does Mission Control give you more control over the configuration?
Yeah. We were going to do a lot of really cool things.
Is that a freebie or is it a for sale thing?
I think it was part of our support. I'm not sure if it's.
Yeah, that's one. That's in the 4.0.
Yeah, it was 4.
3 and 4. Those are. Well, I don't know. I'm not in Netscape, so I can't say. But there hasn't been. In terms of major contributors to Mozilla who are absolutely focused on the enterprise, you know, AOL is not even.
Yeah.
Sun has been pretty focused on that, but I don't think there's a mission desk control coming out of them. I don't know. You know, they had that Sun icon in it. I don't know.
Okay.
Probably a no.
Yeah.
Right now, neither
of us know. Well, the other question is, do we know, is Netscape, if I have to put all my customizations into the Netscape branded version, would that still work? Has there been any of that change?
Will it work? Oh, you mean the customizations you were doing prior?
Yeah, from Mozilla.
Which Mozilla?
Right now, I'm actually using 0.9.9, but it should, I mean, all the change I make should work, one I would imagine.
There's a switch. In one of those releases, and it has to do with the locate where these changes are stored. So I would say, I wish I could tell you what the number is, but in addition to whatever minor changes there were and that sort of thing from version to version, at some point they change where those alterations are actually stored. You know, if you're editing the press file,
yeah.
One point it's stored in the user, the profile contains the press, or sometimes it's in the application directory. And I recall there being a kind of flip-flop on where that was. So 9.9 to 1.0 into 7.0 is fine.
Okay.
But from some version earlier than that, 9.6, if you haven't already suffered it.
No, I started with 9.9.
Oh, I think you're tight. I think you're fine.
Okay, good. I
didn't
want to redo it.
Right.
How about the spell checker in the email client?
The spell checker that's available, and this is a host, it should work as well. You should be able to install
it.
But it's not, it's not shipped.
No, it's not shipped. Okay. It's not an entry. It's always special. It's a project. It's a plugin, but it's there, so you should be able to get it.
One question is related to his about rolling stuff out in the enterprise is that, our audience, about 15% are still using Netscape 4. One of the reasons is because Netscape 4 has the calendar that's compatible with corporate time. And I was just wondering, what's the progress on, I guess, OE1 control, or they contributed some calendar stuff?
Yeah, what is the timing on that?
Did it come back in the tree? Is it in the tree?
Yeah, it's in the tree.
Fancy stuff.
Well, we had a discussion, So we had a discussion of it. I can't remember one too, but I might just.
I've tried it out, and the interface and everything is great. Will it have compatibility, say, with iCal or corporate time stuff and all that?
iCal,
good
I
stuff.
Yes.
I think iCal. That's the main tool, isn't it? Yeah.
But CSMT, I don't know.
Okay.
That's a proprietary thing.
Yeah.
But, my father
OE1.
I mean, in terms of where he is.
Or he's now.
Okay. Are they still, is OE1 still working on that? Or are they going to be releasing their own separate product with that? Or is it just sort of.
Well, I know.
Did they just pass off the code?
I'm wondering about it, talking about timing about when it actually goes in. So he's still working on it.
Okay.
CSMT things are much different.
Yeah.
It's not the product anybody's just having it when we had it. I think that's going to be a hard break. I'd be surprised.
Yeah, it just really kills me. We did RAND stats. I work at USC, and the thing is, we had more people using Netscape 3 than using any version of Mozilla, and people using Netscape 4. Well, they just won't get off of it. Some of them tried Netscape 6.0, and that was, especially since all these are higher up administration, they're on their Macs or whatever. you know, if they ran 6.0, I mean, God help them. You know, their system is just blown away most of the time. And then, you know, what we present, you know, when we get paid to do, you know, the up, we're doing an update, but it has to be, you know, Netscape compatible, which is, you know, just is horrible. So.
There is, you know, the 1.1 should have some features in it that are useful for the enterprise to be held back, and then the ability to do a chunk of changes in the mail, and the images out, and that sort of thing. It should be held back.
We have some people really interested in the LDAP, and also S-Mine. So those two are things
we're looking at. Yeah, the LDAP piece, I think, we should look at 1.1. This has been a chunk of progress made there.
Is roaming being built in? Or?
No, though. I saw CCK and mission control being demoed. Recent versions of both of those being demoed. Offerings. I remember calling them. Yeah. 4 days ago. And that may be that one is for sale. Because they said, yeah, you just grab the CCK out of the web, you know, somewhere on the Netscape site. And then the mission control might be able to pay for it.
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't involved in that, really.
Right. You get your box back.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Which one am I talking about?
I mean, I was once involved in all that, but not in here, so.
Which maybe you could say, actually, the thing I think is people who are using Mozilla, you know, like we were talking about World Gauge, as like a set-top box. You know, one of the things we get also excited about is, like, OE1 is an excellent application of Mozilla. And so too, I don't know very much about it, but this WorldGate project is one of, you know, they're taking Mozilla and using it as a application for the set top or the whatever it's called.
Interactive television, generally on an international basis, large client base outside the US, so the internationalization features of Mozilla have them. What are some of the different ones? Well, there's a chunk of projects that use Mozilla to view content in some specialized area. Educational software, being an example, there's two different companies that build their products using Mozilla.
And you stuff like SVG for, we saw an educational software thing where they're doing massive SVG layout stuff to do like kids drawing graphs and plotting stuff.
You know, at the other end, for a while, I'm not sure if they still are, HP was shipping the Gecko layout engine in their printers for an online help. So there's a whole range. A lot of those apps use the layout engine, the Gecko piece, not necessarily the whole browser app on top of that. There's a chunk of embedding people, or a chunk of TV people, actually, two or three of the, I don't know what that is, different TV companies that also use set-top boxes. There's a chunk of companies, there's a couple of embedded Linux companies. No interest in more handheld devices. They're not actually shipping product yet, so they don't talk about it. And then there's a huge, I mean, JavaScript.
Yeah, there's Rhino and SpiderMonkey, which are, you know, for, so.
Pretty much, you know, everywhere. It's kind of hard to count those systems. Let me think. XBCOM. Now, there's a chunk of more companies using XBCOM, but they're not shipping.
How's the support for SVG in the latest Mozilla?
Well, we saw a demo of some fancy SVG, and the folks who did it were feeding it back into the tree, and they had some serious requirements of it, because there was sort of a sketchy, you know, talk about it, people were kind of fooling around with it, but I gathered that that in order to make this app, this educational software, where you drag things around, they had to really, really pump up the SVG support of Mozilla, and then it came back in. So apparently it's much improved, because these people took Mozilla and wanted to use it for rendering, you know, like the doing sort of content Right, and then they thought they understood the SVG was better supported than it was, and then they went ahead and did a better job and gave it back.
Yeah, for a long time, I had people had a dream that Adobe would suddenly see the light and not contribute their SVG and communication, but that never really happened. So it's not that robust a solution. But,
lovely story with the Adobe SVG plugin in Mozilla. And that, soon after, I believe, 0.9.9, between 0.9.9 and 1.0, Mozilla.org changed its plugin API. And the result was the SVG plugin crash.
Yeah, we were seeing that.
So they're working on it. Technically, the blame is with Adobe, but Mozilla does feel kind of bad about it.
Well, there's just miscommunication. We changed the API.
Absolutely.
Michelle game.
But the layout engine is another area, in fact, where the API is part of the reason for why I was using it, you know, when it was to get the big guys at least for the layout engine as well as, you know, sort of fly out. So the future should be better.
Will Hyatt's departure have any effect on Zool development, and does that signal anything from Apple? Give us some dirt here!
Here to speak for Apple.
Give us some dirt.
Chimera was a new version of Chimera. Released.
0.4 came out.
It'll undoubtedly affect Zool development in some way. But Zool's got a good head of steam now. I mean, obviously he was the man. Was the man. But I mean, Zool now it's got its own thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I know why it's very interesting staying involved with Zool. And how it's, you know, who knows? New job. Going
in direction. Who knows what happened? And it's just cool in general. Mozilla is paying a lot of attention to OSS, and that's just great. You know, I mean, this, in a way, his going there, or you know, there's just a lot of sort of cross pollination happening now. So in a way, it's all to the good. I mean, obviously, OSX, that platform, it's attractive in all sorts of ways. But the fact that Mozilla seems to think so much about it is just great. I'm getting excited about it. You know,
yeah. Well, I mean, it's also a big source of contention, though. You know, the whole Chimera, Mozilla browser, Mozilla, and then, you know, the whole switching all the widgets and everything, and, you know, sort of, I don't know, I guess there's been a lot of discussion about it, maybe.
Yeah, you know, it's a question that's another question that's a long-term question with Mozilla. It's, you know, in the long term, how do we break the apps apart? You know, Hyatt was a big part of the browser. Shouldn't be the app launcher for mail news and the best browser. And it's hard to argue that a cross-platform browser is going to win the hearts of, you know, true Mac loyalists. So really, what ought we do? Should we be set on... I think that we're pretty clear that this one giant thing of 1.0, you know, that takes 4.x series view isn't right view, or at least not the right only view for the future. We need to rip them apart. But how do we do that? And does that lead to, gee, we should have more than one browser application in the tree? Maybe we should, but should they be mostly Zool apps? Hyatt has raised that set of questions, but I don't know what will happen to it. And I don't think that, certainly not Hyatt and staff, but I can't speak for all engineers, I don't think we're bound or naturally opposed to the idea of more than one browser app. One is better for something else. But the question is, what can we support in our tree? Not so much from the sense of code, but in QA and building and testing of those things. So there's a whole set, and I don't think we have any answers to this.
I think there's a lot of noise up there because the Jabber folks are...
Jabbering?
Yes. Jabbering. they're coming in tonight, right now. And I realize we don't have this room after.
So that's it.
Yeah.
Any last
terminal questions?
I have one question, kind of silly. But I noticed the showstopper bugs since RCC. And it's basically kept me from using it since. And it's when you enter enter a URL and you have to enter a space. You know, before it actually goes to the URL. I don't know if it's just me that I'm crazy, but every single
I actually am well aware of that. That's technically not a bug at all. it's not.
Well, I logged it as a bug.
It's not. It's not.
You mean the URL bar?
Yeah, it's like if you type in the URL and you hit return, nothing happens. And there's no go button anymore, so you can't.
Well, I thought you were talking about space in the URL.
And, I don't know. That in order for it to go anywhere, you have to put a space after the URL and then it'll go. And then sometimes when you go to the URL, this is mostly Windows 2000, so it's
even
Mac OS X.
Isn't it fixed in one
really way? It also, once you finally go to the URL, the back button is disabled, and it's really...
But it's consistent across different builds. You're using different builds.
Yeah, I've tried RC2, RC3, 1.0.
Is this happening in 1.1? Because I know they took care of...
Yeah.
They took care of, there was this one bug where, like, you wouldn't be able to type anything in into the URL bar, and they fixed that for 1.1. But there, you can turn on the go button in the preferences, so that might help, but you can set it there in the preferences, turn on the go button.
Yeah.
But I don't know if, you should check 1.1 to see if that fixes it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't tell them, you know, as soon as they
you can't tell them to download the nightlies, you know. Yeah, you have to tell them 1.0. This is, you know, stable and it's not usable.
I type stuff in all the time. I mean, I've always Linux. I use Linux. Well, I do use a partial support. I've seen that.